have your Bibles this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse 44. But they supposing him to have been in the company. Now I'm going to go back just real quickly and bring the story up to this date. Understand that Joseph and Mary were very godly people. Number one, they had learned the lesson of salvation. If you read in Matthew 1:19, you'll find that Joseph was a righteous man, or the Bible calls it a just man. The original word there is legally justified. And so he had trusted Christ as Savior. You read in this passage here, a little bit later on, you can find where Mary, that she had trusted the Lord. The scripture actually says in Luke 1:47 that she said, God, my Savior. So she had trusted the Lord as Savior. So they both knew Christ as Savior. You can't walk with the Lord unless you know him first. And so I'd ask all of you today, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? It's critical. It makes a difference between heaven and hell. And so everyone here has got to understand God cannot use us and we cannot walk with him unless first we learn the lesson of salvation. But then they learned to love the Lord. They learned to love the Lord Jesus, and they did. And their life was much different. Now I want you to notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see this, Matthew chapter 1. And I want you to see the heart of Joseph very quickly. We'll look at the heart of Mary, and then we'll get to this passage, this one word. Notice, if you would, in Matthew 1:18. Now, they're not married yet, but they're espoused to each other, engaged, and this is a Jewish engagement. So they have to go 1 year to make sure they're both pure. And you'll notice in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. There's the righteousness factor. And not willing to make her a public example, she is now expecting because of the Holy Spirit, and this is the virgin birth. And he had the option of telling the Jewish leaders, and they would take her out and stone her. And so you'll notice, if you would, but he was not willing to do that. And he was minded to put her away privately just to protect her. Well, then you'll notice, while he thought on these things, he's a thoughtful man. He's a man that thinks through things before he does them. Then the Holy Spirit came to him, sent an angel, the Lord did, and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary thy wife, who's your supposed wife, but she's going to bring forth a son. And you'll notice that he treats her right this whole time. Now, notice, if you would, in verse number 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So he did what was right. He was obedient. He was obedient to the command of the Lord. So you look at Joseph, he already has a love for God. But now take your Bible, if you would, and turn now to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's look at Mary. Verse 46. Notice, if you would, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So she had trusted the Lord. And you'll notice in verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of thine handmaiden. She was humble. She said, I'm a nobody. I'm not of royal caliber. Why would you let the Christ child be born from me? Why would you use me to bring Jesus into the world? She was so humbled. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 49, she was grateful. For he that hath done mighty things to me hath done great things. Holy is his name. So you see their heart was, they were spiritual people. Now, and then it comes, Jesus is now 12 years old. So they've learned the lesson of salvation. They love the Lord, and they've tried to alter their lives. And folks, this is where all of us in this room, we have to be careful. So they go, it's required for them by law, spiritually, to go to Jerusalem and worship once a year. Make an offering. Because the perfect lamb has not come yet. Now he's here, and they knew it was Jesus. I don't think they knew and understood everything about it. The song was sung this morning, Mary, did you know? I don't think she understood all of it. But I knew she had the Christ child. And I know Joseph knew that. And so they go on his 12th birthday, they go to Jerusalem and they do it like normal. And so they go to Jerusalem and they go to the temple. And as they go to the temple, they give their offering and they offer a lamb and they pray and they get everything together. And they go as groups from various villages because it's safer that way. You don't travel as individuals. That was the reason it was so dangerous for Joseph to take Mary to Bethlehem, because they were alone. And robbers are there and thieves and all kinds of difficulties along the way. And so they get to Jerusalem, they turn around, their caravan gets ready to go, and they leave. And you'll notice, if you would, in Luke 2, in verse number 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, you would say, how in the world does that happen? Well, you know, if you've got one child, did you know I never left Jeremy ever in any place? I never lost him once. But if you've got 12, 14 children like Jeanette Scott does, you're bound to lose one of them every once in a while. And so all I'm saying to you is that you know, you have to keep, when I was a youth pastor, I would get everybody on the bus or two buses or however many I had, and I'd number them. I mean, not individually, but I'd say, okay, everybody sit down. I'd count them all, 41, okay, 40 on this bus, 40 on that bus, 40 on this bus. Okay, get 120, all right? I got it all. So every time we'd stop and use the restroom, I'm not going to go everywhere. I'm going to put everybody on the bus and count. Count heads. Okay, 41. Okay, 40. Okay, 40. Okay, we got them all, 121. We're ready to go. If you don't do that, you can lose somebody. So what happens is you sort of get in a pattern. We can do this spiritually. And Joseph and Mary had sort of gotten into a pattern. They were obedient to the law, but they weren't watching Jesus. It's possible to do that. And you can come to church, put on your tie and coat, put on your dress, come to church, sing in the choir, do the things you're supposed to do, not things of law, and you can suppose Jesus is with you. But he's not. And so, notice, if you would, in verse number 44, but they, and I have this word underlined in my Bible, supposing him. The word supposing is the word nemizo. It's in the original text. It's a Greek word that is you're doing everything you're supposed to do, but you're doing it because you're supposed to do it. You sing because you're supposed to do it. It's not done with your eye on the goal. Nemizo. It is doing what you should do because you know you should do it. But you can lose Jesus that way. And they did. And so they get all the crowd together and they all start back. And it takes them a whole day to figure out, where's Jesus? And notice what they did in verse 44. And they supposing him to have been in the company. Oh, Aunt Mary's got him. Oh, John down the street's got him. Well, then you notice, and they went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. So they got family with them and they got friends with them. And they go look everywhere and they can't find Jesus. Now, at that point in time, we have two choices. You can long to have him back, or you can let him go. And many a Christian says, I'm okay. I'm doing what I'm doing. I am faithful to church, and they take their eyes off of Jesus. Now, folks, today, Christianity is not about a list of things to do. It's about a person to love. And everything you and I do is encapsulated in, do you love Jesus Christ? Is he at the front and center of everything that you do? Have you had a lifestyle change where it's not just you get up in the morning and you come to church, it's you get up in the morning and say, well, I can't wait to meet the Lord this morning at church, and you've prepared your heart, or you get up in the morning to have your devotions and you've prepared your heart, and when you get down to pray, there is a presence of God in your life. It's easy to lose that, and they lost Jesus. It can happen to every one of us. It happens to me from time to time, and I have to immediately get back on my knees. Notice, if you would, in verse number 44, and they sought him. And notice in verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And I love the passage does anybody know how long they sought him? Can you imagine the horror in their hearts when they looked for him the first day and couldn't find him, and the second day and couldn't find him? And they looked for him for 3 days before they found him. Oh my goodness, he's lost forever. Now, the Lord is never lost forever if you seek him. But you can get all tied up in, I'm okay, supposing what you're doing is enough. Supposing everything is okay, I go to church. Supposing everything okay, I sing in the choir. Have you lost the presence of the Lord this morning? It takes a lifestyle change. Now, two and a half years ago, Susan went to heaven. And when she was so ill, I'd have to go where she wanted to eat because couldn't drink water, couldn't get it off with dialysis. And so she'd eat ice chips, and so she couldn't have salty food, make her too thirsty. And so we'd go to a place like Noodles. How many of you know what Noodles is? You know Noodles? Very plain, simple food, but it adds weight to you. How many of you understand that? Okay. You eat a bunch of noodles, and it adds weight. And so I was adding weight, and I did add weight, and I added high blood pressure. And so then she passes away, and she goes to heaven. And so I'm thinking, okay, now I'm okay. And then my doctor said, I went to get the blood pressure meds, and the doctor said, oh, Pastor Pittman, you have to come see me. I said, but I don't want to come see you. Just give me the pills. She said, oh, no, you have to come see me every 6 months for the rest of your life. Well, I didn't want to go see her every 6 months the rest of my life. So I went to see her and looked at her and I said, hey, doc, what do I got to do to get off blood pressure medicine? Well, you know, I don't think you're going to do that. Well, is it possible? Well, yeah, sometimes. Oh, but I don't think, you know, I don't know if you can do it. Well, that was the wrong thing to say. I mean, I'm a little bit competitive. I said, just give me the list. And so she says, well, you got to take salt out of your diet. And I went, salt out of my diet? Then I went and did the research. Did you know salt is in water? Did you know salt is in everything that you eat? And I'm thinking, how do you take salt out of your life? And so I guess the best way to do it, just say you graze in your front yard and that's the way you do it and take salt out. Okay? So you just get vegetables and you just make your life as miserable as you can think, and that's the way it works. And so I said, okay, because in my mind, I got to have a lifestyle change. I'm not going back to the doctor. And so 2 years ago, so then she looked at me, she said, lose a little weight. Well, I didn't like that. I mean, if you'd like that, go to your doctor and say, well, you have to lose some weight. I didn't punch her or anything, but I thought about it. And so, but I'm a pastor. I couldn't do that. So I said, okay, I'll lose some weight. So I lost 15 pounds, went back 6 months later. No. Okay, how much more? I don't know, 15, 20 more. Okay. Now, I've got two huge Kit Kat bars in my office. Somebody gave one of them to me, and Candace gave me the other one. And they're torturing me. because I love Kit Kat. I love everything sweet. No more sweets, Pastor Pittman. Maybe this is a little more than I want to pay. Come see me in 6 months. No, it's not. I got to fix this. And so, man, I cut out Kit Kat bars. So those two bars sit in my office today. And I lost 20 more. 35 pounds went into her. Eat grass all the time. Miserable. But I got one goal. So I walked in this last time, 2 weeks ago. She said, you may have made it. I said, what's this May stuff? She said, well, take half pills and we'll see. So I took half pills and I'm off now for a while. I'll find out tomorrow. Now, if tomorrow I find out my blood pressure is 120 over 80 or less, I'm coming straight to the office, knock all of the fuzz off of those Kit Kat bars and eat it, the whole thing. I don't care if it's corroded, corrupted, it doesn't matter. It's going down tomorrow afternoon. And so I look at it and I say, you know, oh, how sweet it will be to have that Kit Kat bar. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, I said, Pittman, why don't you live like this for me? I said, Lord, I've been faithful. Yeah, but Lord, son, have you watched me? Am I the center of your attention? I said, Lord, maybe not. And I thought, I supposed he's with me. So I said, Lord, I'll do my best to make the lifestyle change, to try to keep you front and center. And you know what? When I got up last little while and read my Bible, that was so sweet. When I got down to pray, it was different. And it's been different. Now, you know, when I see those Kit Kat bars, I'll keep one of them to remind me to keep him first. But the other one is dead meat. It's gone. But I remind myself, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to get off of a pill, but I won't do what it takes to keep you first. What's wrong with me? You know what it is? I just don't love him enough. And I can come to church and I can do all the things I'm supposed to do and I can go to my office and study and I can do all the things a pastor's supposed to do. But I've lost Jesus sometimes. And you know what I thought? I said, Lord, I got to tell my folks. I'm sure the same thing's happened to them. And so it's Christmas. Don't take Christmas and pass out gifts to your family and eat your turkey and ham and forget about Jesus. And they, supposing him, I said, Lord, what lifestyle changes could I do spiritually? Well, I can remove all the distractions of reading his word and saying, I get up early enough where there's not many distractions. And you know what happened this morning? Now, Jeremy Mann, you're on vacation. And so the mutt, she would not leave me alone, and she had to sleep. She sleeps with Michaela. She had to sleep beside me. So, you know, what a pain in the neck. So time comes, I'm reading my Bible, and she wants to lick me. She wants to play. I wanted to throw her out in the yard. I am busy. But for the time being, I want him first. And she was a distraction. I could see it. I could see it clearly. Charity, get back. Get back. Leave me alone. put my arm up and keep reading, or I'd pray. Charity, no. I want to do that when the wrong thoughts come in my mind. Not bad thoughts. Just, I got things to do today. Anybody here ever been reading your Bible and your daily schedule got between you and the words? Anybody here ever done that besides me? Okay. We're losing Jesus. Anybody ever come to church or you sang the songs and you couldn't remember the words that you said after you were done? You're losing Jesus. You see, if you love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, he's front and center. The word suppose is to do everything you're supposed to do without the purpose. Could I challenge you today? You, as a Christian, if you know the Lord as Savior, make this Christmas the sweetest Christmas you've ever had between you and him. Don't let supposing him to be among you be in your heart. Talk to him. Keep him front and center. Love on Jesus Christ. I'll tell you the way you can do that. Take a little time and start counting the blessings that he's given to you. And tell him what they are. Lord, look, I'm healthy today. Lord, there's some people in our church that they're battling cancer, or they're battling this, or they're battling that. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to me. We forget his goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for my son and my family. Lord, I thank you for my job. Lord, I thank you for, and you go down the list and you begin to just take a little time. Lord, I thank you that you think about me. Do you remember Jeremiah 29 when he said, I think more thoughts about you? Do you realize the great God of heaven is thinking about you today? Do you realize he watched you stand up and sit down in this service? Do you realize he watches the thoughts before you think them? Psalm 139. Do you realize you're the apple of his eye? And yet we suppose he's among us. We do the things we're supposed to do without the purpose. Could I just challenge you? It's the way marriages are lost. It's the way families go their separate ways. They suppose that everything's okay, but they don't sit down and make a lifestyle change and say, that is not going to happen. I'm going to keep him first in my life. And it's Christmas. This is the best time to start. Lord, I want you to know I love you today. Have you told him that recently? I mean, have you made a lifestyle change? Now, eating grass is not that bad if you got the right purpose. It can actually become pretty good. I like salads now. And you know, I'm enjoying salads and I'm enjoying all kinds of different vegetables and things. I used to like, you know, I thought my diet was great. A Kit Kat, switch it around with the Snickers, and I would get a steak and get a hamburger and, you know, some fries. And I really enjoyed it. And it was wonderful. And then I'd go back and get another Snickers. And did you know I was on the plane with a Mars executive 2 weeks ago? And I said to him, I said, hey, you're a Mars executive. Doesn't Mars make Snickers? He said, oh, yeah, we do. We make them all over the world. And I said, do y'all have a 2-pound Snickers? He said, yeah, we do. Would you like one of them? I said, I would love one of them. He said, I'll find one. I think I've got them in Kansas. I said, I'll go there. Just give me, tell me the address. Let me know. So I'm expecting a 2-pound Snickers. Bluebell ice cream. I'd get a Bluebell ice cream, a half gallon of it, and eat one night and one half the other night and just enjoy it. Or sometimes I'd eat the whole thing. I mean, it was just wonderful. What else you got to eat? You don't need grass if you got Bluebell. You don't need that. And so I lost purpose. And it's a whole lifestyle change. Everything's different. Are you doing what you do for the purpose of loving Jesus Christ? Did you come this morning because you love the Lord? Or because it was Sunday morning and you just did it? Did you open up your Bible and say, Lord, show me something today? I'm not in heaven yet, but I'd like to be close. Folks, it's easy to lose Christ. But he loves you more than the world, and he's watching you, and he's pulling for you and I to get close to him. It's the reason we have Christmas. He died to save you so that you could be close to him. Have you lost him this morning? You have a choice to make. You keep right on eating Snickers, but you're missing the sweetest thing on earth. You can keep your own lifestyle, but you're missing the joy of life. Today, could I challenge you just to look at your heart? Very simple thought today. Namita, I couldn't believe when I saw that word, doing the things you're supposed to do without a purpose. You've lost the purpose. Supposing Jesus to be in the group, I expect him to be here, but I haven't checked. Have you checked your love for Christ this morning? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Do you love the Lord? Have you told him so? Another way you can know that there's something going on is if you have something between you and somebody else. Is there some bitterness that's between you and somebody else? Some hurt? Folks, today, have you lost Christ? It's easy to suppose him in the country because you're sitting in his house. But have you seen him today? Have you knelt at his feet and worshiped him? Could I challenge you this morning? Come to the foot of the cross. It's Christmas. So, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the purpose for everything that I do. And I don't want to forget it. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Dear Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart in this room. I'm certain in a crowd this size, there are people that don't know you as Savior. Would you help them to trust you this morning? In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 639. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you need to come this morning, this verse is for you. You come right ahead. Lord, have you lost Jesus? Come right ahead, Brother Scott.
Soul, are you weary
and troubled? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry.
No light in the darkness you see.
Why, you come right ahead. If you need to be a part of our church, if you need to be baptized, whatever the need is this morning, you come.
Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Still time. You can trust Christ as Savior today. If you've not trusted him, if you don't know you're on your way to heaven, why don't you come this morning?
And we followed him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His
last verse, if you need to come, last verse.
He promised, believe him and all will be well.
It's not too late to trust the Lord this morning.
The world that is
or to speak to him about getting him back in your heart.
His is perfect
front and center.
Salvation to town. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Well, thank you for your attention. The Lord's been very good to us this morning. Chris Regidron has come to be a part of our church, and all people said, amen. Brother Chris, I'm going to ask Brother Bobby to take you to the back into the lobby, and you be sure and get a chance to welcome him and let him know we're glad to have him. He has four children, and we look forward. I met his wife for the first time on Wednesday night, or last Sunday, I think it was. And so you rejoice with him to come be a part of our church. And folks, today, begin to make today and this week a week where you spend time with Christ. Where you put him front and center. Where you spend time on your knees with him. Folks, maybe there's something between you and somebody else. Get it squared away. Because it separates from Christ. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. The Lord loves you today. He wants to be first in your life. We'll have a word of prayer. Brother Bob, would you take him to the back? And folks, go by and let him know we're glad to have him today. Father, I'm so thankful that you're patient with us. Lord, I'm thankful you're patient with me. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we could keep you front and center of our life. Father, it's so easy to lose you for a day, for 2 days, for three. Lord, help us desperately rush back to you. And I pray that you'd help people to rush to you when they lose you this week. Lord, help us to pay attention to you this week. Lord, bless Brother Chris. I pray that you'd help us to be a blessing to him, and in turn, him be a blessing to you. Give us traveling mercy. Lord, bring us back tonight, 5:30. Help us to enjoy your word. You've been so good to us, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. You're dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming.